All right, listen, we're going to change gears. So if you've been watching the news, I don't know if Donald Trump ever sleeps. It's kind of fun to watch. It's also inspiring, and it's also a little bit awesome because I find myself thinking that I'm somewhere between 5 and 6.5 hours of sleep guy. That's me. I'm usually up somewhere between 4:45 to 5-ish, somewhere in there. And then sometimes earlier and sometimes later. Saturday mornings, I live to be able to sleep till 6. But it's like a mini vacation. But all that to say, I don't know that Trump sleeps. And this trip he's made to the Middle East is a classic example of what we didn't have for the last 4 years. Remember when Biden went to Saudi Arabia after basically ticking them off and calling them pariahs on the world stage? Then he goes, and all he does is kind of walks the line, kind of casually does a fist bump. Not Trump. If you watch some of the pageantry, I mean, his trips to Abu Dhabi and to meet with the crown prince and the royal family in Saudi Arabia, and then heading over to Qatar and all, it's been absolutely amazing. And it's been more than just he made a trip. It's been a nonstop series. In his own words, he said he thinks he shook every hand in the Middle East. And he did. You watch the receiving lines. 78 years old, stays on his feet, sharp as a tack, shook every hand, looked people in the eye, cracked jokes, had a good time. And there's a few things that are what I would call indicators, and we're going to talk about them. But there's a few things that are indicators that this was not a normal visit. I mean, some of this stuff, like, did you know he's the very first U.S. president to ever visit Qatar?
I did not.
And it made an impression on them. And I'm not going to try and pretend that all of a sudden they're all just wonderful. There's nothing bad that comes out of their countries. I know and I'm very aware the 9/11 attackers were originally of Saudi Arabian descent. They were also Wahhabi extremists who were living in Afghanistan for part of that time. But all that to say, what Trump has done in just the last 5 days on a trip to the Middle East has been something to behold on a variety of levels. It's been something to behold in terms of foreign policy. It's been something to behold in terms of investment back into the United States. It's been something to behold in terms of watching an American president be received by foreign nations who were literally excited that he was there. And I'm going to tell you a few things about that when we get back from this break. Let's take the break right now, JP. We'll come right back. I'm going straight to Dipper number 3, the Great Middle East Tour, because that's what it is. It's a great Middle East tour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. I'm in a Dipper right now I call the Great Middle Eastern Tour. It is. Listen. Nobody's seen anything like this in modern history. I'm not being just, it's not hyperbole is what I'm trying to say. That's not just being outlandish or trying to be, a big Trump fanboy. That's not me. If he does something wrong, I'll call it out. But I'm going to tell you right now, what we've been seeing over the past several days on his Middle Eastern tour has been nothing short of a masterclass in how to build relations. It is. It's a masterclass in how to build relations. Does he go in there believing that everything that they say or do from now on means that they're suddenly all on our side and we don't have to worry about anything coming? No, not necessarily. But he went in there respecting who they were, but also demanding that they respect who we are. And they did. And I'll just tell you, from my time in the Middle East, the Middle Eastern cultures, especially the Gulf Arab cultures, They have a great deal of respect for people who do what they say what they do, walk with authority, and have a sense of power projection. And Trump definitely does all of that. At the same time, he's very relational. It's kind of fun to watch. I mean, you think, okay, President of the United States, he's a billionaire. It's kind of like this figurehead. You'll never get close to him. And yet, there he is yucking it up. And, just basically, like, building relationships. So there are several things that happened. I think you need to pay attention to a few things he did. Trump didn't go over there like Biden. By the way, keep in mind, Biden, in March of 2022, does anybody remember this? In March of 2022, it was reported that Saudi Arabia's crown prince declined a phone call from Joe Biden. Like, basically wouldn't take his call. Like, oh boy, that's a really bad deal. It was back when all the, you know, the U.S. was seeking Saudi Arabia's help getting increased oil production while we're cutting our own, and then we're yelling at Saudi Arabia, and, you know, it's like, it was just a total Biden debacle, the energy situation. And Saudi's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, declined a phone call from the president of the United States. This week, the Saudi crown prince himself, but listen, in that culture, this is a massive deal. The Saudi crown prince himself walked out on the red carpet to the airplane to greet President Trump when he arrived, met him at the plane, and then walked him back to the plane when he left to see him off. And it looked like two best friends. I mean, I don't want to try and read too much in it, but the expressions on faces and the laughter and everything, there's no way you could look at that and say, that seemed genuine. And yet, just 3 years ago, that same crown prince wouldn't even take Joe Biden's phone call. How about that for a changeover? I mean, Trump flew in, and he had everything from fighter jets and massive chandeliers and cyber trucks, you know, escorting him. And one of the things that's most impressive to me is I don't think I've seen that many American flags flying in our country. But in every country he went to, whether it be the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, they lined the streets. They lined the welcome centers. They lined the hallways. He walked through progressions of people waving American flags and celebrating his arrival.
Well, did you see the Burj Khalifa, too, had the American flag, a picture up on
that's the largest building in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was very cool.
Yeah, it's up on the live stream right now if you want to check it out.
Oh, yeah, great job. Yeah, if you're watching the live stream, we got a picture. What's it called, the Burj?
Burj Khalifa in the UAE.
Yeah, it's the tallest building in the world,
mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, it's scary tall.
Oh, yeah.
It's like way, way scary tall. How do you build that on the sand? Anyway, it's got to go way deep, I guess, in the foundations. But yeah, they lit up the tallest building in the world in the UAE with the American flag. And I don't mean like on part of it. The entire building is a giant American flag. Just very cool. Everywhere you look, stuff like this was happening. There was one situation, though, that really got people wondering what just happened. So when Trump came into the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, there was a scene where he's walking through like a gauntlet of people who are clapping and cheering. And I get it. Some of that was put on. I mean, sure, it was. The fact is they put it on. That's important. It's more than symbolic that they chose to welcome him that way. But in the course of doing so, he walked through the gauntlet and there were women on both sides with long, dark hair who were waving their hair in the air, like literally shaking their heads. And it was intentional. They were shaking their heads so that their hair was waving. And a lot of people were saying, what is that about? What kind of, was that weird? What was that about? Well, here's the deal. I found the description online, and I have every reason to believe this is true. It's a ritual in Gulf Arab culture, especially in the UAE. It's part of a ceremonial welcome that's reserved for kings and heads of state and those who are given the highest honor. The synchronized hair swimming is what I'm reading here is by women is not a performance. It's a gesture of grace and pride and spiritual blessing. It symbolizes honor, purity of intent, and in some interpretations, even submission to a higher cause. It's called rare. It's called sacred. And you don't get it unless you're being received, it says, as a liberator or some type of covenant figure. That's amazing. So Donald Trump didn't walk into a normal greeting. In the whole process, he's flanked by military, tribal leaders, ceremonial dancers. It was a king's welcome, basically. And some people are freaking out over that. I'm not, because they weren't just honoring Trump. They were honoring America. They were honoring the fact that America's back. They were honoring the fact that there's a strong nation on the world stage called America that they can look at and go, they got it going on. And he did way more than just build relationships. He took with him major heads of industry. Air Force One was filled up with key people, major industry leaders from tech and manufacturing and others were there to negotiate, to build rapport. It was like one big, you know, economic development conference after another. It is estimated right now, because they actually signed agreements, that he's bringing home several trillion dollars of economic investment into the United States from Middle Eastern countries. This is unbelievable. I got a little more when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one right here. Goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about down to that loveliest little village on the plains we like to call Auburn, and straight across the board from there, what we also like to once again call Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. So yes, indeedy, radio, anywhere in the big wide world, go to the World Wide Web. You can tune in, live stream the show every single day, or pick up the podcast after it's over. And all you online audience members, we love you too. Thank you very much. You're as much part of the Ruffian family as anybody on the radio. By the way, I got to just quickly tell you, CNN has a breaking news exclusive, they say. Sources are telling them that the Secret Service is currently interviewing James Comey right now about his 8647 seashell find. That's interesting. Ryan Fournier on Twitter is saying the U.S. Secret Service is now personally escorting James Comey to their D.C. field office. I hope so. By the way, make him do a perp walk. Just make him have – I hope the press is rushing to the door so they can catch him on the way out and say, hey, former FBI director, what's up with all that?
And everybody else, like the you mentioned Krasenstein, the guy with like over a million followers on X, posted the same thing with a pool boss.
Yeah.
Make him arrested too.
Yeah, like, listen, yes.
Can you imagine if Republicans did that with Joe Biden? Any sort of, oh, well, we only met 86 to get him removed from office. No, like people would be getting perp walks like that. It's if the roles were reversed, nobody would take the crap of, I didn't know what I only meant remove him from office, not eliminate him. Like, it's total bullcrap. You're full of it.
I saw somebody trying to say that this is no different than Republicans used to say, let's go Brandon. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It absolutely is.
We're not asking for anybody to murder the president.
That's exactly right. Mocking and calling out is a whole lot different than saying, by the way, let's go ahead and take that guy out. No. All right, I jump back on topic. I'm in this section about the Great Middle Eastern Tour. I wonder what y'all's thoughts are on this. By the way, I was almost taken aback by the level of pomp and circumstance. Like, I've got this one article here that talks about the things that the various countries did between Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Qatar. You had, like, when Trump arrived in Saudi Arabia, had a lavender purple carpet. And that's also a big deal. It's a sign of royalty. His arrival in Saudi airspace was flanked by an escort of F-15 fighter jets. He walked the lavender carpet from the plane. He was flanked by Arabian horses, guards in regalia, a live band. He was greeted by the Saudi crown prince himself. And then they had what's called a coffee ceremony, which is a very big deal. Trump doesn't even drink coffee, but he made sure I know what this is like. I had to drink tea with the warlords in Afghanistan, and after a while, you just don't want it. But he did everything. Then they had an extravagant, you know, state dinner. By the way, this is also a big deal because it's kind of been traditional for U.S. presidents to take office, and their first state visits are either Mexico and or Canada. Nope, not this time. Trump said, I'm going to the Middle East because we got a lot of work to do over there. And then he went down to Qatar. Holy cow. Similar reason. He had a red carpet arrival. And then, you know, there's all the talk about the Boeing 747 Qatar wants to give him. There's some talk about whether that was actually promised during the Biden administration. It's now coming out. Wouldn't that be a hoot? I'd love to know more. But one of the interesting dynamics of this, though, is Democrats have no idea what to do with this. In fact, some of them are saying, wow, that's just like, wow. Rob Malley, a former special envoy to Iran under the Biden administration, said, it's hard not to be simultaneously terrified at the thought of the damage he can do and yet awed by his willingness to brazenly shatter so many harmful taboos. What he's basically saying is, Trump ain't afraid. That's a Democrat. How about one of Biden's former staffers said, I wish I could have worked for an administration that moved that quickly. These are Democrats saying this. We have, who is this? Ned Price, a former State Department spokesman in the Biden administration, said he does all this and it's kind of like silence. It's like Med with a shrug. He has the ability to do things politically that previous presidents did not because he has complete unquestioned authority. Well, guess what? That means your guy didn't. How about that? On and on and on. We got reactions from Democrats that indicate that they are clearly taken aback by the depth and the level to which Trump is able to take this Middle Eastern tour to go places. New York Post, I hold it here in my callous former paratrooper hands. New York Post has a headline that says, brain dead Biden could never have pulled off Trump's show-stopping Middle East trip, and the Dems admit it. How's that for a clickbait title? President Donald Trump's show-stopping trip to the Middle East, it says, complete with lavish welcomes, diplomatic breakthroughs, and business deals worth an estimated $2 trillion. Good Lord. Have left even Democrats favorably comparing him to former Joe Biden, whose cognitive abilities and lack of stamina are being blamed. And the article points out, I mean, you had literally Biden calling a lid on his day at 2:30 in the afternoon. At home. Not abroad. At home. Did we see Biden go? Yeah, he did. Biden went to, I think it was an EU conference, either NATO or the EU or something, and he didn't even show up for the group pictures. They just took the picture without him because I guess he was still napping. We don't know.
And there was one, too, where he kind of showed up late and they put him in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Like the U.S. president in the back of a picture in NATO.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the things that have happened on this trip, though. Trump announced that he would drop all U.S. sanctions on Syria, and he actually met with the new interim president, Ahmed al-Sharaa, and encouraged him to join the Abraham Accords and recognize Israel. That's Syria. Now, that guy is not necessarily a good guy, but what Trump's trying to do is co-opt him while he has the chance. To get in, Trump recognizes the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Trump also recognizes sometimes you're better off having an 80% friend than 100% enemy. And so what he's doing here is he's trying to get in with Syria while he has a chance. In Iran, he actually made clear the U.S. is not going to, in the Middle East, he announced, we are not going to allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. But he said he would work on a peace agreement with Iran if they would come to the table. In Saudi Arabia, he got $600 billion of investment promises from the Saudi leaders. He inked the largest defense sale agreement ever in history of the world, a $142 billion defense sale agreement. He asked the Crown Prince to recognize Israel in Abraham Accords, and he laid out his vision for the Middle East. In the UAE, he signed the U.S.-UAE deal with Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan, that's the leader, including $14 billion with Boeing and $4 billion to develop an aluminum plant in Oklahoma. It goes on and on and on. He goes to Qatar. He made a deal with the Emir in Qatar to purchase the largest order of jets in Boeing history, amounting to a $160 billion order. My gosh. It just literally, it's like, if you had a counter and it was going ching 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 ching, it would sound like a jackpot, like a lotto or something going off.
In one trip.
That's in 4 days.
And also offering himself up to go to Turkey if Putin and Zelensky were to meet and to go back and do it. You like, he's everywhere.
It's just nuts. It's nuts in a good way. It's also a clear indication. What we've been missing for the last 4 years. And I do believe, by the way, I say this with all sincerity. I think the last 4 years, politically, culturally, I think it sucked. I think we hurt. I think we were damaged in some ways. But I also believe that the last 4 years brought us a different Trump than we would have had even if we had if he had been elected in 2020. I think the 2020 election would have brought in a Trump that didn't have near the level of game on resolve that he's got right now. I mean, would you?
I would agree with that. Yeah. Like hitting the ground running.
Hitting the ground running, but he's got like a different level of passion even.
It's almost like he had 4 years to get revved up. I think all the stuff.
And pissed off.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think he maybe needed some time to assess some things he could do better in his second term. Instead of, I think if he was just reelected right away, he could have just continued what he had been doing, which wasn't necessarily bad, but I don't think he would have been this level like it is at right now.
No, I think there's this momentum right now. Plus, he's got a different team.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's a big part of it.
I think it's a big part of it, too. He put a team together that is like bar none, a bunch of type A's who are not afraid. That every one of them can speak to the camera when the time comes. Every one of them is willing to go game on. And every one of them, by the way, has been given a measure of authority and trust from him to until you basically go and do it. Here's the plan. You like it? All right, go and do it. And, you know, right now, everything he said he was going to do is being done. And I'll be honest. If he messes up, I'll call it out. I will. I promise you I will. I'll call balls and strikes. But right now, all I'm seeing is the man's throwing strikes. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. Last break on a Friday. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I'll take some text messages. And anybody want to call in, you're welcome to it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.